Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I'm Spencer Ehrman, and apparently I'm the lay leader, worship leader this morning. I get to do this. I'd like to start by extending an open arms welcome to all. Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. Wherever you're from, however you love, no matter what your family looks like, whether you're here at WUF or watching on YouTube, welcome to longtime and newer members and visitors. I hope you find something that keeps you coming back. We're going to walk down a little bit different path today. I've been reflecting on protests and resistance issues, focuses that are going on today, and how what I did 60 years ago is impacting how I'm feeling today. Heard a lot of protest songs back in the day. Started listening to them when I was about 13. I didn't hear them at home. I spent a summer working on a ranch in California, and they gave me a pickup truck with an AM radio in it. So I got to listen to Dylan and Joan Baez and Peter, Paul and Mary and Pete Seeger. Here's something that Stephen Stills wrote in 1966. There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, getting so much resistance from behind. What a field day for the heat. 1,000 people in the street singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. Paranoia strikes deep into your life. It may creep. It starts when you're always afraid. You step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. That was in 1966. I don't know, was that 40 years ago? is that 40? 60? It's a long time, and we're still living it. Anyway, please stand and greet each other and answer the question, was there a moment when I knew it was time to rise up against injustice?
Where have all
Thank you. That was a song that Pete Seeger wrote in 1955. And please be mindful when we sing it that it was long before the women's rights movement, long before we began to address gender and identity issues. So the lyrics may have been a bit archaic. Paisley? Is Paisley here? Please light our chalice for us. While we light our chalice each Sunday, we keep the flame in our hearts and minds, always reminding us of our commitments to justice, equality, and community. Thanks, Paisley. Let us say our affirmation. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious. And let us open our hearts to love one another and our neighbors. I'm going to sit and read a story. If there are any younger folks that want to come up and join me, hear change humming in its loudest protest song. I don't fear change coming, and so I sing along. I scream with the skies of red and blue streamers. I dream with the cries of tried and blue dreamers. I chant that I'm a chant that rises and rings. There's a hope where my change sings. Though some don't understand it, those windmills of mysteries, I sing with all the planet and its hills of histories. I hum with 100 hearts, each of us lifting a hand. I use my strength and my smarts, take a knee to make a stand. I'm bright as the light each day brings. There's a love where my change sings. I show tolerance, though it might take some courage. I don't make a taller fence, but fight to build a better bridge. I talk not only of distances, but from where and how we came. I also walk our differences to show we are the same. I'm a movement that roars and springs. There's a wave where my chain sings. Chain sings where? There, inside me, because I'm the change I want to see. As I grow, it grows like little seeds. I am just what the world needs. I'm the voice where freedom rings. You're the love your bright heart brings. We are the waves starting to spring, for we are the change we sing. We're what the world is becoming, and we know it won't be long.
It's already up there.
Thank you. We all hear change strumming. Won't you sing along? Thanks, guys. First time I ever did that. Now let's sing the children out as they go off to Ari. We hold you in our love as you
sent you go to nurture the spark of your precious life. We hold you in our love as you go.
Well, now it's the time for a moment of gratitude and giving. I've never been as grateful for our community here at WOOF as I have been these past few months.
Amen.
And I hope that we will all continue to lend our time, talent, and treasure to this organization that we love. If our host could please come and pass baskets for our offering today. Today we're going to hear from three of our members about their personal journeys of activism, and here's a bit of mine. In 1968, I went off to college. My only experience so far had been working for Bobby Kennedy leading up to the Oregon primary. He was murdered in L.A., and then the police riot happened at the Democratic Convention in Chicago. I sat in front of a TV with my parents and cried. When I got to the University of Denver, I attended an anti-war rally headed by Joan Baez and David Harris. Harris led the so-called resistance and was soon to head off to prison for draft evasion. After spending that year in low-key protest activities, on November 13, 1969, I jumped in a car. Yes, it was a VW bus. With a few friends and drove to D.C. for the November moratorium against the war. And that happened on the 15th. 500,000 people gathered on the Mall. I'd never seen anything like it, nor had anyone else. It dwarfed the March on Washington and the previous month's demonstration. And at the same time, 250,000 people marched in San Francisco. Yeah. We had a nationwide movement. Well, back in Denver, things settled down until the spring when Nixon invaded Cambodia and protests erupted on campuses across the country. Four students were murdered by National Guard troops at Kent State, and I and a group of students in Denver organized the demonstrations there. The anti-war movement coincided with civil rights movement, and then women's lib. These informed my activist life for the next 50 years. Voter registration, supporting progressive candidates at all levels of government, advocating for human rights, and volunteering for organizations that support children. Now our traditional moment for joys and sorrows. Well, our lives can be filled with so much joy, joining with loved ones in homes and here at WOOF. We can feel sorrow from loss, disappointment, troubles in the communities around us. We have space here to let our joys and sorrows out. Beginning with the front row, you are welcome to come forward and place a stone in the bowl representative of our community, the stone being an expression of happiness or sadness. And if you're so moved, please express your sentiment with us in a sentence.
I just say thanks, everyone, for y'all's support last week.
All right.
This is such an appropriate service. I don't know about all of you, but I'm really scared. I'm really afraid for our country. And we have to do something. Why aren't we doing anything? April 5th, I'll be downtown at the Japanese Memorial. Please join me. Get out there somewhere. There are marches everywhere. Write to your congressman. I know we've got Democratic congressmen. We're very fortunate. But write to the Republican ones. You know, this is, I know it's more than a sentence, but it keeps me up at night.
For all of the transgender and non-binary folks in our families and our friendships scattered as they are.
I'm just so, so grateful to have this community and already this service. Thank you.
For Enrico and his family.
Of what is going on in this country.
We have a great joy this morning to celebrate, and that is that Jim Leonard, who is our trusty sound person at the back of the church that you might not have noticed, over the many, many years that he has done that service for us on behalf of the entire congregation, we thank you and we wish you a very happy 85th birthday.
I'll place one final stone to represent the joys and sorrows that have been unsaid here today and that we all carry in our hearts. Please join in singing Blowin' in the Wind.
For the forever band. And how many years can a mountain exist before it's washed to the sea? Yes, and how many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? Yes, and how many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? And how many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? Yes, and how many years must one man have before he can hear people cry? Yes, and how many deaths will it take till he that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing.
So, working for social justice is long-term work. Like most things that are worthy of a lifetime of effort, it can be frustrating and extremely exhausting. A daily meditation practice allows us to periodically pause, replenish our energy, balance our nervous system, and gather the courage we need to return to this urgent mission. True self-care is not selfish, but practiced with the understanding that efforts in self-improvement make us better equipped to do the work that improves the lives of others. So, please, let's take a few minutes to reflect, meditate, or pray if you're so inclined.
About a revolution. talking about a revolution. Talking about a revolution.
Wow, that was fun. In 1960, nearly aligning with the free speech movement to be born in Berkeley in 1964, Tom Hayden and others, soon to be labeled radicals, started the Students for a Democratic Society at the University of Michigan. Hayden drafted the SDS Manifesto, titled the Port Huron Statement, and SDS adopted it on June 15, 1962. This is, in part, its concluding statement. Capitalism, functioning at three-fourths capacity while one-third of America and two-thirds of the world goes needy, domination of politics and the economy by fantastically rich elites, accommodation and limited effectiveness by the labor movement, hardcore poverty and unemployment, automation confirming the dark ascension of machine over man instead of shared abundance, technological change being introduced into the economy by the criteria of profitability, this has been our inheritance. Now, as a truly better social state becomes visible, a new poverty impends, a poverty of vision, and a poverty of political action to make that vision reality. Without new vision, the failure to achieve our potentialities will spell the inability of our society to endure in a world of obvious, crying needs and rapid change. Folks, that was in 1962. Let's see, 62. It's just astonishing to me. Anyway, it's astonishing to me that that was written that long ago. And here we are. Anyway, please welcome Cheryl Radakowski, Uwe Nietzel, and John Riles, who will briefly share their stories of activism and how it informs their lives today. I haven't flipped a coin. Would you carry a shark?
Hi, I'm Cheryl Radakowski. My activism then was quiet and individual. I was in fourth grade when my dad was in Vietnam. So I wore an MII bracelet. I tried to support the soldiers that were there the best that I could. So I focused more on racism through my personal behavior. While living in San Francisco during middle school, I became very aware of prejudice towards those people that were not white. I made sure I had a very diverse group of friends, and sometimes I was the only white person. When I moved to Virginia, the South, to start high school, I was determined to speak up for anyone being given a hard time because of their color or ethnicity. I had about as diverse a friend group as I could have in the white area that I lived in. In college, I started to become political, campaigning in the 1980 presidential election for various state bills. I then spent my entire 20s and part of my 30s in Europe. My activism was limited to just taunting East German guards at the Berlin Wall. Since 2016, my activism has become louder. I just I started with just trying to get Clinton elected. I was fortunate to be living close to D.C., so after the election, I had the ability to go to the Capitol and march in the Women's March, the Climate March, the Justice March, the Anti-Gun March, and join in other protests. In early 2017, I started attending my first UU congregation. Belonging to UU Reston and its Social Justice Committee really enhanced my activism because it gave me information on things I could personally do and the people I could do them with, including helping with the very first Pride Parade in Reston. The disaster of the 2016 presidency emphasized the importance of how much the President of the U.S. and some governors could negatively affect the well-being of so many people, the earth, and the influence this type of administration could have on the values of American people, especially children. For the first time, I was ashamed of being an American. The American flag was something I was no longer proud of, which especially hurt since I came from a long line of family serving in the military, trying to protect our country. The lying, the mockery of the disabled, the hatred of immigrants, the prejudice and racism, I hated that it was okay to be mean to people based on their appearance, religion, sexual orientation, or legal status. I'm appalled at the restrictions of our freedoms for our bodies, for what our children can read, and for what we say and now listen to, the rewriting of history. It is also very scary. When I first moved to Portland, my activism in 2022 started by just trying to get out the vote. I believe the more people who voted, the better our democracy could be. It worked in 2022. Then I turned to helping people needing food, the farm workers, the homeless, and what could be done to help the environment and stop gun violence. I marched in parades to support marginalized groups. By joining the Raging Grannies and WOOF and its Social Justice Committee as a new Portlander, I was able to find the information and people I needed to participate in these activities. As the 2024 election drew closer, I once again concentrated primarily on trying to get people to vote. Then my activism became much, much, much louder and more frequent. My focus is back to trying to save our democracy and protecting vulnerable people. I've gone to town halls, called, written, emailed my congresswomen and senators, marched, protest, and joined additional groups like Indivisible and the Worker Circle to give me even more information as to what the most important actions are that we can take. I've learned what to do to help the undocumented when ICE threatens and signed up to be quick response unit if more local federal workers get fired. Next up, tomorrow, 3:45, Tesla protests in Portland. And then, as mentioned before, Hands Off Portland, April 5th at noon, or Hands Off Washington County at 10 o'clock. Organizers are hoping Hands Off will mobilize millions of people across America to protest the destruction of our government and economy, to stop the chaos, and to build nonviolent opposition movement against the looting of our country. As John Lewis said, get in good trouble, necessary trouble, and help redeem the soul of America.
Amen.
Wow.
Well, Cheryl is one of our most active members here. We really have to thank her for initiating really a lot of activities here, together, of course, in the social justice group, which I belong to, too. But, little Beck, I move in Eitzel, and as most of you know, I'm born in Germany, and I lived there till 1999. So my history is a little different than what Spencer mentioned there, and we had also other things which were important for us at the time. I mean, we had an iron fence which divided the whole country and was equipped with mines and self-shooting systems to avoid that people from the eastern side of Germany would come over to us on the western side. So there were protests about that in Germany. We were very aware of all the war activities also, there were also heavy anti-war protests in Germany, human chains, peace events. But then we had also something else which was very important for us at the time there, and that was atomic power, because we had a lot of accidents with the atomic power. For us in Germany, especially Chernobyl, when this power plant exploded, and our kids had to stay inside the houses for months, and we had to exchange all of our sandboxes because of the atomic nuclear downfall there. So we had really some other things also in mind there in Germany than war protests only there. Well, how did I get active? Not so much in Germany, because I was in the Air Force for 12 years defending our country against the communism, but I had the chance to protest in my last year after I left the Air Force, because we had freedom protests going on with candlelights to tear down the wall and tear down this iron fence, and we were successful on both sides to bring, you know, back the country, to unify the country, and actually also end the communism in a lot of the Eastern European countries. But then I came to U.S. and wanted to get active here. But first I saw a lot of things which really stunned me. I mean, healthcare insurance for a lot of people wasn't as good as in Europe. A lot of people were lacking that. You know, the homelessness, the, every time or every week nearly, you saw of mass shootings here, which were totally unknown in Germany, because there were really restrictions on possessions of guns. And then, of course, also African Americans. I mean, how they were treated in this country. We had seen in 1968 black power at, you know, during the Olympics, when the two athletes stood on the podium there. And of course, we also, you know, heard about Martin Luther King, and we discussed those things also in school. But, you know, we weren't so active at the time because it wasn't really affecting us that much. Well, I saw that here now. And after joining UU in 2006, I finally had the chance also to join forces with others here, and especially then the Black Lives Matter movement. When Ahmaud Arbery was killed there during jogging from white supremacists in Georgia, where we lived at the time, that really got it started. Then there we had really heavy protests on the street in front of our congregation, and then also in the city there. And then we had, you know, of course, in short succession, in other cases like George Floyd, you know, in Minneapolis, who was killed by a police officer there. But then when I moved to Portland in 2020, or we, Trish and I, we moved to Portland in 2021, things changed a little bit. Because over the last 2-3 years, I saw a man rising to power again who had in his tactics, in his way to approach people, a lot of similarities to the person in our dark history in Germany. And kids in school in Germany, they learn about how Hitler got to power, what he used, you know, using ethnicities, other countries, etc., to, you know, basically, you know, make them responsible for the failures, for the problems in the country. And I was stunned again here to see how many people really fell for very similar arguments, which were brought up in the last 2 or 3 years, this time against immigrants, transgender people, and other countries too, right? We see that still nowadays. And so, like Cheryl, I think right now is this time where we have to be active. We have to protect our endangered groups in our society, like our friends from the LGBTQ plus community, or immigrants, and so on. I mean, there's a lot of cases here. It's nearly overwhelming for a lot of us there. But we have to do something. And, you know, protests like on April 5th, I mean, I will participate too. I mean, we will go to Tigard, where there's a protest march, but there's one in Portland too. So please join us. Be active. Don't accept what is going on with this current government. Thank you.
I can use all the support I can get, so I'm just going to step up to the lectern here. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yeah.
First of all, I want to acknowledge there's so many people out here in the audience today that have had their own stories of social justice action, and I salute all of you, and I say, right on, brothers and sisters. Right on. My family really kind of formed a background. They were young adults in rural Iowa when the Great Depression hit. And they struggled with that, but they saw how a community grew together. And that was reflected in our life as a family. And the first time I was aware of anything having to do with social justice, I think, was when my father was very agitated about what was happening in the McCarthy era. He is a public school teacher, and public employees were being asked to sign loyalty oaths. And that just really chopped his hide, as they say. As a youngster, I think the first time I was really passionate about social justice was during the Civil Rights era, what they called it back then. And that was in the 50s and 60s. And I spoke out in family gatherings and in school gatherings and had to leave the room more than once. But, I was a kid that was living in a small white bread community, and my awareness of it really was the amazing things that were happening in the Deep South, as well as Washington gatherings. As an activist, though, I think I really had more opportunities to participate in university protests against the war, and beyond the university, I had met some activists from the Friends Service Committee. They were Quakers, and they taught me a lot about becoming more engaged, and I appreciate that experience. After that, I joined the Western Farm Workers Union in California and protesting, first of all, initially grapes, but also Safeway Market and their role in agricultural industry. And it took until the mid-80s before I'd let myself go back into the Safeway store. When I moved to Oregon in the late 80s, I settling into my family life and also into a new career venture for me, took a lot of focus. But I also participated in social justice things, joining the social action Economic Justice Social Action Group, and also the Community for Earth Group at First Unitarian Church downtown. And also here at WOOF, I participated in our project to become certified as a green sanctuary. And somewhere around here, there's that certificate that may still be hanging on the walls.
I also led a number of courses from the Northwest Earth Institute, not only here at WWOF, but also at First Church and at my employer. My employer was Multnomah County, and they were interested, and we developed some of the employees that wanted to participate in those courses. More recently, I was one of the assistants to our senior youth group downstairs, and we covered, what I did with them, we covered a number of social justice interviews. We have some remarkable people in our congregation here, and I invited in Megan Esler and Annie Vigilios and others to talk to the youth about what they had done. And as a result of that, we set up a table downstairs and had invitations to the adults to sign up and send letters to their legislators in support of the gun safety bill in Oregon. Let's see. Well, I guess one of the things that stood out to me was in the work in the United Farm Workers, I got an opportunity to meet Cesar Chavez, who happened to be one of our events there, and stepping forward again. To 2008, I retired, and that was an opportunity to get involved in the election with Obama running, and I really wanted to participate in that. Observing that Oregon is a very blue state, I decided, well, I've got to travel. So I happened to have a brother and sister-in-law who were living in a suburb of St. Louis. And at that time, Missouri actually was considered to be a bubble state. And I thought that was a place that I could go to and actually have an opportunity to make a personal contribution there. Well, I got there, and it turns out, you know, as soon as I opened my mouth, it was real evident that I wasn't from around there. So I didn't talk to any voters, but I was doing some back office work in support there. And it gave me the opportunity to actually meet Dr. Jill Biden. She came to St. Louis to address us and had an opportunity to see her there as well, which is fun. Oh, I also was a background stiff. You know, you see all these people that are standing behind people as they're talking, and as Claire McCaskill gave an interview on TV, I was there smiling and nodding. I wanted to mention one other thing also. You know, my wife and I, are sheltering a young woman from Afghanistan who right now is worried. She's a green card holder, but that doesn't necessarily provide with all protection. I'm sorry to get emotional about it. Well, in conclusion, though, I feel very fortunate to have had the opportunity to participate and help lead some of the actions and activities that are how our UUs live our values and principles. And once again, I feel a strong leading moment to get up and get out and participate, helping this challenging time. Resist, reverse, and reclaim.
Yes.
Peace and love, everyone.
I think looking around the room, there are probably 100 different stories in here. And if I were to take this and throw it out, just hit random people with it, we'd probably be here all afternoon. Um, I know that we can continue to share these stories downstairs, through our lives, through demonstrating to each other how we care for ourselves, for our communities, and for our nation. I'll extinguish our chalice, but not the light of community and justice it instills in our hearts and minds. May our light bless you and keep you. May our light shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may our light lift up its countenance upon you and give you peace. Now, please rise. Back in the day, when we marched, we joined hands thus. We'll sing, We Shall Overcome. We shall overcome.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Lord, deep in my heart,
hand in hand.
We'll walk hand in hand. We'll walk hand in hand. We'll walk hand in hand someday. We shall overcome.
Thanks, everybody.